Good evening and welcome to another time of studying His Word. You're welcome to Love Assembly's Bible Study. It's a privilege, it's an honor to be here with you tonight. Yes, indeed, He is an awesome God and a mighty God. Amen, amen. Thank you everyone for joining, for wherever you are joining us from. I'll encourage you to like the broadcast, share the broadcast with somebody, and I trust that God would indeed bless you and I today. Amen, amen. Whether you're driving, I hope you're driving and not watching but listening, or you're at home, it's going to be an awesome time, and feel free to relax and be expectant. I know that God, this word is for me, and I'm only sharing my musings with you. Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we thank you for this time. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. Father, we've gathered at your feet to see you, not for people to see me, not even for me to see me, but to see you. And Father, I pray, let Jesus be glorified. Holy Spirit, glorify the Father, glorify Jesus, and let all eyes see him. Father, we give you glory and we give you praise. Be thou exalted. At the end, it will be said of us, we have been with Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, I would like us to carefully examine what God wants us to focus on this month, the word he gave us the beginning or before the year started. And the theme is worship. Keep worshiping even when all is stripped away. Praise God. So the main focus is worship. And we will see how things being stripped away, people being stripped away, and all being stripped away interjects or meets with worship. Praise God. So the first question I'd like us to tackle tonight is, what is stripping? What does it mean when we hear the word strip? Or stripping away. It's a Bible study, so I believe you have your Bible, you have your dictionary, you have your devices, your everything to study along with me. Amen. So I went to check out the word stripped or stripping away. Stripping away or stripped away. It's just another way of saying stripping, because when you're stripping, something is being removed. And the dictionary says, the dictionary definition, stripping is the act of removal of clothing, of covering, or something, or someone. It's an act of removing something, a covering, a clothing, something, or someone. And the analogy that came to me while I was meditating on that word, stripping or stripping away, is when you have paint on the wall. When you are trying to remove paint from a plasterboard or from a wall, you usually use a scraper, a sharp instrument to rub against that wall. And in so doing, you're peeling away. You're peeling away that coat of paint. So stripping can also mean to deprive, to rub, to damage, to extract. But if we focus on just a wall, and the paint, and you're trying to scrape it, there are a few things that that we pick up here. One is, a few things come to your mind. One is, why are you scraping or stripping the wall of that paint or that wallpaper? Why are you doing that? And why are you using the instrument, which is sometimes you use a scraper, and a scraper, you know, you don't use it on your skin, you don't use it on yourself, you use it on the wall, because it's very sharp. It can, you know, really hurt you as a human being. And you use it to peel up that paint or that wallpaper. So why do you do that? That's the next question. Why do you do that? You do that because you're trying to, maybe the wallpaper or the paint is old, there's mold, there's damp, and you're trying to scrape it off to expose the wall, to expose the brick, so that you can repaint it or cure the wall of whatever the problem is. This thing can apply to so many things, not just a wall, not plaster boards, but it could be a tree. You know, the back of a tree, you want to peel it off, expose it to sunlight, or because you want to maybe apply treat the tree because of infection or whatever. So that is why you do that. Before we go further, I'd like us to look at John chapter 4. If you study with me tonight, let's look at the book of John chapter 4. The story we know too well of Jesus at the well, talking to the Samaritan woman. We know the story very well. We find in John chapter 4, and reading from verse 19. I'm reading from the New King James translation. Like I said, it's a Bible study, so we'll look at different translations. Jesus started a conversation, asked her for water, and she asked Jesus, you know, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, why are you asking me for water? You know, we don't mix. You know, you have another tribe, I'm of another tribe, you're another color, I'm another color. Why are you talking to me? Isn't it amazing that Christ doesn't see the color, doesn't see the tribe? He sees us as we are and have been created in Christ. And I believe that we can learn from that. But let's read. In verse 19, Jesus said to the woman, said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Praise God. I started by giving us the dictionary definition of what stripping or stripping away means: a removal of clothing, of covering, of possession. And I kind of like painted a picture of how that is done. You use a sharp instrument designated for that, and you rub it against that object, and in so doing, you peel off or you strip away, you strip off the covering or the coat or the or whatever it is that is on that object. And here Jesus was talking to the man, and Jesus said something very, very profound. He said, "You don't know what you worship." That means people had been worshiping prior to this time without knowing who they were worshiping or what it was they were worshiping. And he says, "Now is the time when the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth." And they worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Because the Father, God, is seeking for such people. So, you know, we ask ourselves, you know, we ask people, what is it that you're seeking for? What do you want in life? What do you want to become? What are your goals? Summarized there is the goal, the objective, the demand or the expectation, the desire of the Father. He is looking for true worshipers. So they are false worshipers. They are casual worshipers. You could prefix or you could put anything in front of that of worshipers. But the Father is looking for true worshipers. And what are the qualities of these true worshipers? They worship in spirit and in truth. Praise God. And God is saying to us, worship is what he's looking for in 2024, in this month. And for that worship to be effective, for that worship to be acceptable, it requires stripping away. It requires a level of stripping away. And stripping away, we'll dig into that a bit further. So the Father is looking for true worshipers. And the question I'm asking myself is, am I a true worshiper? Am I worshiping God in spirit and in truth? And you know, man is a tripartite being made of spirit, soul, and body. We're spirit, soul, and body. And God is not looking for worship that emanates from the flesh, from the body. God is not looking for worship that emanates from the soul. What you see mainly with the soul is, you know, you see the psalmist say, "My soul does magnify the Lord." You see more praise and thanksgiving from the soul. But worship that the Lord is looking for comes from the spirit, because God is a spirit. So any worship that is not from the spirit is not what the Father is looking for. And the Father is also looking for worship in truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So he is looking for worship that is from the truth. And remember that the human nature, the human mind, the spirit of truth, it's not within the capacity of man, but it comes from the Lord. So God is looking for these two things. Is the worship anchored on the truth? Is it a lie? Because worship could also stem from a lie, where we exaggerate, we fabricate, we come and we're saying something with our mouth, but our heart is saying something different. So God is looking for such worship. And if we dive deeper, if we look at Leviticus chapter 11, 44, 45, if we look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, if we look at Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, if you can bring up 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. Let's look at that. It says, because it is written, if you bring 15 and 16, let's read in context. It says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Praise God. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." And if you look at let's look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7. you bring up Leviticus 20, verse 7, let me give us a bit of context. It says, consecrate yourselves therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourself. So the act of holiness, or be holy, what precedes it is a cleansing process, a washing process, a setting apart process. And that goes to define what the stripping means. For us to attain holiness and be holy, for the Lord is holy. I remember the Bible says that without holiness, no eyes will see God. And if we must worship him and present an acceptable worship, it must stem from the place of holiness. And what does this level of holiness, how do we attain it? We attain it first by consecrating ourselves. There's a process of washing, a process of cleansing. And remember that if you're not born again, you're not even in the conversation. We have been justified by faith. We give our life to Christ. We believe in the salvation that Christ has bought. We believe in the sacrifice, in his death, crucifixion, resurrection. We are then justified. And that justification brings us to the next level, which is sanctification, a continuous process that is done by the Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit to set us apart, to cleanse us. Remember when Jesus was speaking to the disciples and was speaking to them about, and he, you know, he took off his garment and bent down and took a bowl of water and was washing their legs. Peter said, no, don't wash my leg. You know, don't do that. I don't want you to do that. And Jesus was explaining to him that, yes, you're already clean. Anybody who's already clean doesn't need the whole body clean, because Peter, when he explained, Peter said, oh, cleanse my whole body. Then, no, you've already been cleansed. That is what justification is. That is what salvation does. But sanctification is that because you are moving about and walking about, your feet gets dirty. And I need to wash your feet. That is what sanctification is. So yes, the holiness we're talking about is, yes, you and I have been justified by faith if we give our beginning our life to Christ. But sanctification, the daily cleansing of our feet, because of the interaction with the world, we pick up debt. You know, we pick up things, and they contaminate us, and they contaminate not just our physical body, but they contaminate our spirit. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 7, just to buttress this point. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Okay. It says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Do you have it in TPT, in the Passion Translation? Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit and flesh, of the flesh and spirit. Perfecting holiness. You see that where holiness comes. It is in cleansing ourselves and the filthiness that comes from us moving about, us interacting and living life, that it says, beloved ones, with promises like these, and because of our deepest respect and worship of God, we must remove everything from our lives that contaminate body and spirit. You see, we're back to the stripping, the removing that paint, that coat of paint is what we're talking about. That is why it needs to happen. That is why the Lord needs to allow it happen in our lives, because of this contaminant, if our worship is going to be quality and acceptable and accepted by God himself. It says, and continue to complete the development of holiness within us. So holiness and sanctification is a process. we are aiming for and attaining. Amen. Amen. So that is what scraping, that is where the stripping away comes in. As God allows things to be removed, coverings and possessions and things, we are attaining perfection. So the whole essence of scraping is the whole essence of sanctification is our perfection, perfecting holiness and perfecting worship. Praise God. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. 2 Timothy 2, 20 to 22. TPT, if you can bring in the Passion Translation. It says, but in a great house, if you have the TPT, let's look at the two. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. You know, it says some for honor and some for dishonor. The way I used to read this scripture before was the vessels of gold and silver were just for honor. The vessels of wood and clay were unto dishonor. That is not the meaning. It means that in a great house, there are different vessels. You know, there are different callings, different people in the church. No one is greater or better than the other one. However, what matters is the sanctification. So in a palace, you find many kinds of containers and tableware for many different uses. So it's the use that matters. Some are beautifully inlaid with gold or silver, but some are made of wood or earthenware. Some of them, so it could be, you could have a gold vessel that is, you know, I heard the story, I don't know how true it is, of Donald Trump's, one of his toilets is made of gold. I don't know how true that is. So a toilet could be made of gold plated, but it doesn't take away the fact that it's still a toilet. So that some of them are used for bouquets and special occasions, and some for everyday use. If I read down, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. If anyone cleanses himself, so that is where the stripping comes. As we allow the stripping away take place, we become vessels that are sanctified and useful for the master. Our worship becomes useful and acceptable unto the Lord. In a great house, different vessels, praise God. And that process of sanctification and that process of stripping away, it's not a palatable one. It's not an easy one. It is not a conducive one. That's scraping. It's not... It's not enjoyable, if I should use the word. I want to show us from the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Praise God. So how does this happen? We've seen worship, that what God is looking for. We've seen that worship comes from the Spirit. And it has to be done in truth. There can't be any lie in worship. We've seen that in a great house, there are all vessels. But if the vessel sanctifies itself, cleanses itself, it then becomes useful. It can then produce a worship sound, a quality of worship that God accepts, which is why God is telling us in this season that He wants worship, but the worship He's looking for must come not from the flesh, not from the soul, but from the Spirit. And He's looking for such worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. So how do we attain or become these vessels of honor? How do we become these vessels that can produce worship, even in the deepest pain, in the deepest disappointment? So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 4 says, I'll read from verse 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us and we pay them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Praise God. So one of the ways God strips away, hopefully time will allow us to look at it, but if we can't, God will help us. One of the way God does this stripping away or stripping or removing of a covering, because we have covering, we have the flesh. The flesh covers and the soul covers, and the heart of man is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, there are so many things in our flesh that war against the spirit. Paul talks about it, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the things that war against the spirit. There's a constant battle between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh doesn't want us to worship God. The flesh wants to be the one worshiping God. The flesh wants to be the one suppressing and in front. The flesh wants to be the one seeing. The flesh wants to be the one praying in the flesh, singing in the flesh, dancing in the flesh, worshiping in the flesh. The soul wants to also join in the act. And there's a constant war. And the Lord is saying that if the Father loves us, what he does is he chastens us, he purges us, he disciplines us. Why? Because he is looking for true worshipers. And he's a father of spirits. What he's trying to do is to purge our spirit, to cleanse our spirit from all the contaminants that we looked at in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. If we see it in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. The works of the flesh are these: arguments and anger and envy and gossips and heresies, believing lies and adultery and fornication. Not just the fornication, adultery that you commit physically, but in your mind, in your spirit, you're committing it. The uncleanness, lewdness, dressing inappropriately, hatred, idolatry, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, so many things. These things are contaminating our spirit. And when they contaminate our spirit, it makes it difficult. You know, God was talking about these people worship me with their lips, but their heart is far away. The same mouth with which we bless is the same mouth with which we curse others, with which we say things that are unbecoming. So what does God do? God wants to strip away these things from our, because what do they do? Remember, I showed us two things. I showed us scraping a wall. So it's like the phone is on the Bible. So when you paint over a wall, the paint, which is a liquid, runs over the wall. And if you allow it dry, it sticks. Or you put a glue, it sticks. And for you then to remove it, you have to scrape it. And that scrape, there's a friction. To remove this is not easy. And the contaminants in our spirit are difficult to come off by themselves. They're difficult to come off by themselves. It's not something that you just remove. No, it needs a sharp, which is why the Bible says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces both to the marrow and the spirit and the body and the flesh. It's the word of God that can scrape it. And nobody's spared. Even Jesus wasn't spared. Jesus was himself wasn't spared. I want us to look at Isaiah. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm just explaining the process of this scraping. From verse 1. Who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of ground of dry ground. He has no form of comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted by God. I'm adding by God because that's what that means. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed. That means there was stripe on the body of Christ. You know, they left a mark. It left a mark. I don't know if you've ever been flogged or beaten or you've been abused. You know, it leaves a mark on you. You know, there are certain things that'll be the next thing we talk about. That there are certain things, the scraping that when the Lord allows it happen to you, pride just leaves you. There are certain things the Lord allows you to go through that fear leaves you. You know, you are down and down and down to your last. There's nothing. No, you have nothing. Your CV can't get you a job. And the Lord just closes the windows of heaven and takes away dependence and scrapes away trust and confidence in your dad, confidence in your parents, confidence in your money. You know, there are some troubles you go through. Money you can't bail yourself out. And that is the process the Lord allows to scrape and to strip us of every confidence in the arm of flesh. You know, sometimes he would allow your business to fail. And he will just allow it fail. You pray all you can pray, but he allows it fail so that he will strip away every confidence in the arm of flesh, so that when he does, he wants you to say, I lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help can only come from God, where you don't even trust yourself. Because I don't know if you've been in that situation. Maybe you bragged and boasted about your faith and your worship and your walk with God, and then you see yourself committing a sin that you'll be asking yourself, how did this happen? Our brother Kwamele was sharing earlier today during the 12 noon prayer. And it will just, one of the things it does, it just humbles you and reminds you that the race is not to the swift. The battle is not to the strong. It is not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. Why? God chasing Christ. He smote him. He smote him. That is why Jesus said he learned to be, though he was a son, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. God allows us to go through some suffering as he's scraping away the fear of man from you, because he knows you're always afraid of people. You want to please people. You want to be in people's good books. He will scrape you so that you lose all they will lose regard for you, they will lose respect for you, and you will turn unto the Lord and say, Lord, it's only you that have my back. I don't know what trouble you are going through. I don't know what it is that is happening to you, but I'm telling you, the Lord allows it. Praise God. I want us to see, you know, we read the story of Joseph. I want us to look at Psalm 105. You know, we read the story of Joseph and, you know, and we, you know, all that happened to him. If you look, read it, you know, if you just read the story, you'll go like, wow, his brothers were terrible. Oh, see what happened to him. But let's see who was really behind everything that was going on. Psalm 105 and verse number 16. Moreover, he called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. That's a COVID. He allowed it. Recession, currency going up and down, inflation, Brexit. He allowed all these things happen. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him and made him lord of his house. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and the ruler of all his possession, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. So really, if you look at that, you go like, oh, his brother, it was the Lord who allowed his brothers do that, because God was removing him from the known, removing every pride, every confidence, every hatred. Remember what he said at the end, what you meant for evil, God actually meant it for good. In reality, God sent him ahead of time. And the only way God can get him to the place where his life will worship was to allow men mistreat him, was to allow him go into prison and become a slave, allow him go down. Why? Because God wanted his spirit to worship. There was no bitterness, there was no guile in his spirit. When his brothers came and were afraid, there was nothing anymore. Why? Because God had taken him through the process of scraping and stripping away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God allows it. God allows it. Look at the life of Job. Somebody could say, you know, oh, but it was Satan. You know, God is the one orchestrating the scraping in your life and in my life. He uses different people. God can use the devil. In the story of Job, he used the devil. But if you read it without understanding the spiritual background, you go like, oh, the Sabians came and killed his people, killed his wife, what kind of thing? A hurricane, the devil was running rampage, his health was affected, the devil was the one that was doing it, you know, but it was actually God. It was actually God. Why? Because God wants his spirit to be pure. You remember that what Job said? Job said, the thing I feared most has come. So deep down, beneath the surface, in the underground parking lot of Job, was the spirit of fear. There was fear in his spirit. My brother, my sister, I don't know what is in your spirit that is contaminating your worship. When you see me in church, I'm raising my hands. I hear you think I'm worshiping, but in reality, deep down, I'm afraid that, oh, I might not have children. I am worried that, oh, tomorrow might not be great. Oh, I'm worried, oh, that my children will not turn out great. I'm worried that this thing will kill me. Oh, there come the things. And the Lord is saying, if you and I must come to the place of worship, He would need to scrape some things off us. He will need to strip some things away from us. Because if those things are not stripped away, God, who sees in secret and who sees our spirit, knows the contaminant that is coming into his nostril. You know, you see honey tastes sweet, but if you burn it, it's dark, it has an ugly smell. But frankincense, the more it burns, the more it produces a sweet aroma. That is why, in Leviticus 2, everything with the grain offering has to be, you have to put frankincense in it. God wants worship that stems from us, that comes from us, to be a worship that is pure. A worship that is pure, not a worship that is the flesh, not singing two fast songs and one slow one, not squeezing my face, you know, that is not worship. Not raising my hands, that is not worship. Worship could be, Lord, I've just realized that without you, I'm nothing. A simple word, you might just be thinking it, coming to the realization. So how does he do it? He can use different things. He can use your enemies. He can use your friends. He can use the devil. He can use economy. God can use anything to strip anything away from you and I. He can use anything. That is why he's sovereign. It is the son he loves. He chastens. He buffets. Praise God. Praise God. We'll stop here today. I don't know where you are. You know, God can use the pressures of life. God can use the pressures of life. Bible talks about the tree planted, that the seed that was sown into the ground and into the rocky ground. It was excited. It heard the word. It was excited. But when the pressures of life came, what is the whole essence of the pressures of life to take away? Where were those things? If you look at those things were in the soil. Maybe another time we'll look at those things. Those things were in the soil. They were in the heart. They were in the spirit. Those things were in the spirit. And when the word of God comes as meant to scrape, those things choke your worship. You know, when things are good, we worship. When things are terrible, we don't worship, or we worship with, you know, an expectation that God will come through and God will answer our prayers, and we keep going around those circles and we never learn his ways. So as we bring the meeting to a close this evening, I just want us to go to God in prayer. I don't know what God has said to you, but he knows where you are. He knows where I am. He knows what he's looking for. He's looking for true worshipers. He's looking for true worshipers, and the true worshipers are not many. And for you to be a true worshiper, you have to go through the test of the Lord, the testing of the Lord. For Abraham, he was, I want, you know, give me that you love, what you love most. And you know the first thing Abraham said, he said that Ishmael may live. Said that Ishmael may live. On the surface, he was bringing Ishmael, but deep down was Isaac. And God specified a son whom you love. What is the worship that you and I are giving to them, presenting to the Lord, that is just the surface? It's not true. It's not the truth. He's looking for true worshipers that will worship in spirit and truth. And I will be the first to put my hand up to say, I'm not yet there. I'm not there. But if you want to join me tonight and say, Lord, help me. Lord, cleanse every contaminant in my spirit. Wherever you are, I want you to join me and let's just pray. Father, you know me. There's nothing hidden from you. Lord, I ask tonight in the name of Jesus that you cleanse my spirit. Lord, there are so many debris. There are so many things that have glued themselves to my spirit and to my soul. The worries of life, the cares of this world, a form of godliness, but I really deny your power. Lord, I ask for your help. Lord, he said, if any man purges himself, Lord, send your word as you are sending it tonight. Lord, cleanse me that I'll be clean. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, perfect holiness in me. Lord, take away all that you need to take away, but give me the grace to release it. Give me the grace, the strength, Lord, to go through this scraping. Because I know you have a beautiful plan for me. Your thoughts for me are thoughts of good and not of evil, but Lord, help me. I become so attached to these things. Father, thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for your help. Thank you for helping my brothers and my sisters listening to this. And Father, let our worship be sweet. Let him come as a sweet aroma to you, Lord, when you're done with us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Let's allow the Lord continue to do that which he has started. You and I will produce quality worship that will be acceptable before the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. I would hand over back to the Medium production team and see you on the next broadcast. Thanks and God bless. Bye.